Is the Lord's Day sanctified by man's work or man's rest? I've written an article for the latest issues, etc. journal titled Lord's Day, Lord's House, Lord's Supper. You can read it by subscribing to the online Issues, etc. journal. Just look for the red subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. The Wittenberg Trail feature details former Baptist minister Dennis McFadden's journey to the objectivity of the Lutheran Confession of Faith. The free Issues, etc. journal. Wakefield Cathedral Choir with stanza one of the hymn, Sing My Tongue, The Glorious Battle. The church remembers the Holy Cross. It's often, this is the only time I think that there is a church day on the calendar in the liturgical year where we're remembering a thing. Well, at least it seems we're remembering a thing and not a person. We've got days for Paul and Peter and Titus and Timothy and all of the disciples, Mary, the mother of our Lord, and then the saints that follow in their train. Old Testament, New Testament, modern day, ancient. But Holy Cross Day remembers a thing, an event. The church remembers Holy Cross Day on September 14th. What are we going to be doing when we celebrate Holy Cross Day? Joining us to answer those questions on this Tuesday afternoon, September the 9th, Pastor Burnell Eckert. He's pastor of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Kewaunee, Illinois, and he's editor-in-chief of Gottesdienst, the Journal of Lutheran Liturgy. Fritz, welcome back.
Thank you. Good to be on your show again.
I pastored a congregation. I can go back farther than that. I grew up in a congregation called Holy Cross, and then I pastored my first congregation for about 10 years. It was called Holy Cross. And then we have Holy Cross Day. Why do we call the cross holy?
Well, I think that's a good question. And I would say that it's pretty similar to the same reason we call Good Friday good. In other words, the day on which our Lord was crucified was, to appearance, a bad day. But we call it a good day because of that event, and that day is the event and day on which the world was redeemed. And the instrument by which it was redeemed, that our Lord used, so to speak, was the cross. He was crucified on the tree, on the cross, which is an instrument of torture, a horrid instrument, but which he turned to the good by using it to be the instrument on which he shed his sacred blood and redeemed the world. So I think it's entirely appropriate to call the cross most holy.
As I mentioned before, we don't usually reserve days on the liturgical, the church's calendar, for a thing, at least it seems, rather than a person, most of the time remembering a someone, not a something. What's going on Holy Cross Day?
Well, there's a very long tradition there. I don't know if you want to go into the details of it. It's kind of fascinating, actually. It goes all the way back to Constantine, and a lot of this is legend, and that's what maybe leads people, even within the Lutheran Church, to question whether we should or should not observe Holy Cross Day. It goes back to Constantine in the early 4th century, when he, at the urging of his mother, erected great churches at Mount Calvary, and while the excavation was going on, they supposedly found pieces of the true cross, and they were given out to the pious here and there, and the relics of what was remaining, the majority of it, was then kept there until, I believe, an invasion of the Persian army in the 7th century, and there were, or maybe, I think it was in the 7th century, and then there was about a 14-year period in which the cross was, again, according to this legend or tradition, kept in the hands of the unbelievers until a certain Heraclius, I'm reading here, in the year 627, vanquished the Persian host and was able to recover the cross and brought it back. And when it came time, this is kind of an interesting part of this, and obviously a legend, and we don't know what to say about legend except that we don't know if it's true or if it's just a pious story. But it's kind of an interesting legend all the same. The story goes that he was going back to Mount Calvary to put it in the place where it belonged, and he couldn't do it. The harder he went to do it, the heavier the cross became, until finally somebody told him that the cross should not be carried by someone attired as a conqueror, but by someone who looked like Christ. So he put on the clothing of a pauper, barefoot, and then he could carry the cross easily. Now, the interesting thing about that story is that it was kind of repeated in the 13th century by St. Louis of France, the King of France, when he supposedly brought the same cross in a solemn procession to Paris. And again, although the legendary part of it isn't attributed to this, he also took off his king's royal robes and went barefoot to take the cross into the city of Paris. And, of course, that was on the 14th of September. So there's a lot of history attaching itself to this. Much of it, or maybe even most of it, would fall under the category of legend. So we don't really celebrate that, but we do celebrate the cross itself. And I would also add that one of the things that we do focus on is the fact that we are talking about a real cross. I mean, we don't know what parts of the cross are real and what are not. I think I remember Luther once saying that if you could recover all those pieces of the cross, you'd have enough to build a barn. But that's not the point. The point is that it was a real cross. It wasn't just a myth. This is a real event in real human history, and I think it's for that reason, at least, that it is a good thing to remember the Holy Cross as a real device on which our Lord was really crucified for the sin of the world.
So that would explain why, and I think this may be a Lutheran idiosyncrasy. Next to St. Paul's, probably, and Trinity, maybe Zion, one of the most popular names for churches.
Yeah,
has been Holy Cross.
I don't really know the reasoning behind that. I mean, that just maybe happened because of the fact that we center on the reality of the redemption that Christ won on the cross. That may be the reason for, as you put it, an idiosyncrasy, that we like to emphasize that above all other things, that our Lord gave his life for the sin of the world on the cross, on the Holy Cross.
I guess that kind of presupposes, and this is, I sad to say, almost in some places too much to ask, that churches would still have crosses. Many of them do, sometimes just because they're left over from previous generations. Many of the newer buildings, well, they might have a little one someplace or one someplace, but it's certainly not the fashion nowadays, Pastor Eckert. What do you think?
You mean crucifixes, cross with the body of Christ on it.
Yeah.
I mean, you can find empty crosses all over the place. In fact, I've heard many a pious Lutheran respond to the idea of having a crucifix with the words, well, he's not there anymore. He rose from the dead. And, of course, that's true. But the reason we like images of Christ on the cross is that just as the Gospels themselves devote the majority of their time to the crucifixion and then to the resurrection as the divine imprimatur on the crucifixion, you might say, we too need to focus back on what he did on the cross and not just gloss over it as something that was really bad and now we can focus on the nicer things of Easter. You really can't have Easter without Good Friday. You can't celebrate what happened when Christ rose from the dead until you realize that he gave his life and died for our sins. So I would say that by all means, let's get those images of Christ, the corpus, back on the cross, because the empty cross is really an abbreviation, I would say.
Does the crucifix falling out of favor with Christians that ought to know better, does it signal not just a change in kind of preference on how you design your church, but a theological shift in your mind?
Well, you could say that, perhaps. I mean, we had the, in Europe, the so-called Age of Pietism in the 18th century, 17th, 18th century, when the emphasis was on the individual's piety and the focus was inward rather than on the objective events that Christ did. And so how much better to take your mind off of that which he suffered, except perhaps on Good Friday, and to focus just on some other thing. So the cross can be sort of a symbol of Jesus, but if you put Jesus on the cross, somewhere along the line, someone got the idea that that was a denial of the happiness of the resurrection, and that fit in nicely with this pietist notion that you could simply focus on other things, which I mean, it's even on some of our hymnals, and an empty cross, and I think in that case, especially in the old Lutheran hymnal, that's an abbreviation. There's nothing wrong with an empty cross as an abbreviation, but where you have the capacity, the capability of having the full-blown image, how much better to show that there Jesus is giving his life for the sin of the world and showing us how much he loves us.
We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about how the church might celebrate and observe Holy Cross Day on September the 14th. Dr. Burnell Eckert is our guest. It is ironic, isn't it? Well, I shouldn't laugh, but someone say, well, what is the cross? It's a symbol of Jesus, but don't you dare put Jesus on it. That seems weird. We'll be right back. Do you have a hard time finding Christian greeting cards and gifts that aren't either sappy or theologically suspect? Ad Crucem offers the perfect combination of art and the truth of the scriptures with beautiful and reverent greeting cards and gifts. Deliver the true comfort of the gospel, Christ crucified for sinners, to family and friends with Ad Crucem. ADCRUCEM.com. Confessing the faith through art and word. ADCRUCEM.com.
The 500th anniversary of the Lutheran Reformation is fast approaching. We have such a rich history as Lutherans, and many people don't realize that. The CLCC offers a seminar called Your Reformation Walk that teaches that rich heritage and helps you appreciate it. The CLCC also offers other seminars designed to help laity learn to appreciate what Lutherans believe, teach, and confess. So invite us to your church. Visit theclcc.org and get details on scheduling a seminar for your church today.
Will your church be one of the Issues, Etc. 300? Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. We're looking for 300 congregations to pledge $1,000 to Issues, Etc. in their budgets. To find out more about the Issues, Etc. 300, click the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. You'll even find a one-page informational flyer. Please consider including Issues, Etc. in your church's mission or advertising budget. The Issues, Etc. 300.
Greetings in Christ, and thank you for listening to Issues, Etc. If you ever find yourself visiting the Smoky Mountains in East Tennessee, please join us here at St. Paul Lutheran Church in Sevierville. We see it as a small part of our service to the church to provide sound liturgical worship opportunities for vacationing Lutherans to our area. For worship times and directions, please visit our website at splctn.com. That's splctn.com.
The cross is always relevant. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
We Lutherans were never aided by following along with some other tradition's theological priorities and catchphrases.
Issues, Etc. regular guest, Pastor Heath Curtis, coordinator for stewardship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod on a Lutheran approach to stewardship.
Other folks are not approaching it from our good, solid Lutheran understanding of law and gospel and vocation. There's a place to talk about this in Christianity, and we have a way of talking about stewardship as Lutherans without ever using the word stewardship, if you like. I'm going to talk to you today about your vocation in your home, in your church, in your society, and how each one of these makes a claim on you, on your presence, on your support, on your prayers. That's how we should talk about this as Lutherans.
You'll find several stewardship resources at lcms.org/stewardship. lcms.org/stewardship. Choir of Ely Cathedral singing the first stanza of the hymn, The Royal Banners Forward Go. We're talking about Holy Cross Day that the Church observes on the 14th of September. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Dr. Burnell Eckert is our guest. He's pastor of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Kewaunee, Illinois, and he's editor-in-chief of Gottesdienst, the Journal of Lutheran Liturgy. They have an event every year that they call Oktoberfest. I went to it this last year. It was a very interesting event. And a good opportunity to talk about some of these very kind of subjects. Pastor Eckert, tell us a little bit about Oktoberfest.
Well, I should mention to your listeners, of course, you not only went to it, Pastor Wilkin, but you were the speaker. And so it really was a great time to have you last year. And this year will be the 19th year that we've been doing this. It's October 12th to the 14th. It's always the Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday in which we find Columbus Day. So if you're looking year-wise, that's a good way to remember when it is. This year, we're privileged and pleased to have the Reverend Dr. John Stevenson, Professor of Historical Theology at Concordia Lutheran Seminary in St. Catharines, Ontario. Confessional Lutheran pastors generally know who he is. He is the general editor of the series Confessional Lutheran Dogmatics, in succession to the late Reverend Dr. Robert Preuss. He's done some good seminal work in the theology and works of Pastor Wilhelm Lehe, who was very influential in the founding of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, even though he never came to America. And he will be talking to us on the Blessed Sacrament in the theology of Wilhelm Lehe. So I encourage people to try to find some time to map out on your calendar so that you can join us on Sunday, the 12th of October, starting with Choral Vespers at 5 o'clock. And then we have a Bratwurst Banquet at which Dr. Stevenson will hold forth for a while. Then there's a seminar the next day. If you want some details on this, I encourage you to go online at Gottesdienst Online. That's all one word, gottesdienstonline.blogspot.com. Or you can drop me an email. I'll give you my email address. It's b.f.eckart, that's E-C-K-A-R-D-T, at gmail.com. That's b.f.eckart at gmail.com. So we already have a lot of registrations coming in, and we haven't even sent out the current issue of Gottesdienst yet. That's going out just in a few days now. So we're hoping for a real good turnout this year to hear what Dr. Stevenson has to tell us.
Folks, you can find out more about Oktoberfest. That's the 12th through the 14th of October at St. Paul Lutheran Church in Kewaunee, Illinois, at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. So what does the Church do in observing Holy Cross Day?
Well, what I would do is just concentrate on the meaning of the cross and why the cross is so central to our theology, because it's not only who Jesus is that we celebrate, but what Jesus, who is the Son of God in the flesh, who is the incarnate one, what he has done. How that is, the cross is the heart of our faith. As St. Paul says, I came to you knowing nothing except Jesus Christ and him crucified, which is another way of saying, namely, him crucified. Without the crucifixion, you have nothing. The cross is at the heart of our whole faith. So that's the way I would celebrate it. I might add, incidentally, that we're not going to be observing it here on this Sunday because, technically speaking, it's a second-class feast. And so, I mean, I don't know if you want to get into this right now, but I don't use second-class feasts to displace Sundays. So if it happens to fall on a Sunday, which it does this year, then we don't celebrate it here. But that's we have a second collect and second prayer for it. But this year, it doesn't get its own billing because I think Sundays in themselves are very important as well.
Well, that's an acknowledgement that the Lord's Day celebration is in fact the chief celebration of the church, and it is in fact its own. It's a better Holy Cross Day.
Yeah, really. I mean, if you can take Saints' Days and special days, and you can fill up your entire calendar with virtually every day with them. So I think it's good to keep the liturgical cycle intact for the most part. And when you have a big day, a big first-class or Feast of Our Lord on a Sunday, then it takes precedence, you know, such as Christmas or something. Otherwise, and there are a few others, those saints' days are reserved for days of the week, I would suggest. But this is a matter of freedom, of course.
Now, you mentioned before that there are some who are uncomfortable with the observation of Holy Cross Day, largely because some of the narrative that has historically been associated with it and the date might in fact be of legendary character. How would you respond to that then in a fuller way?
Oh, I would say that one of the things that you hear all too much of, I'm gonna just get on my soapbox for just a moment here, is pastors preaching little stories or vignettes or illustrative introductions to their sermons that really don't have any truth value. They're just supposedly enlarged illustrations to make a point. And sometimes I think, frankly, they're a waste of time. Why not replace them, first of all, with stories from the Bible, you know, especially like Old Testament stories? That's what I think we ought to be doing. But in addition to that, if you want to use some kind of a story to illustrate the faith, why not use some of these legends? I really like this story of King St. Louis of France, that he took off his royal garb and took the cross with bare feet. I mean, you could make much of that as an illustration of the truth that Christ, by weakness, brought to us salvation. That's one suggestion I could make.
So there may be a place for the legend, which is, in fact, we don't know whether this really happened, but to illustrate what it is the cross is in the life of the church.
Precisely, yes. I mean, legends have their place as legends, as stories. The difference between us and the Church of Rome on these things is that, you know, Rome just decrees such and such a thing is dogma, and therefore we believe it. Well, in our church, and I think properly speaking, the sacred scriptures are the heart and source and the determining factor about whether something is true or not. So if it's extra-biblical, as we say, it may be true, but since we don't know that it's true, it's really kind of dicey to establish it as a matter of dogma.
I want to talk to you about the, we've said it here a couple times, what the cross means, which is maybe even a step removed from saying what the cross does or what is done at the cross. That, as you so rightly pointed out earlier in our conversation, that real cross in a specific location at a specific hour on a day where Jesus, a real person, a real man, and the Son of God, carried out the saving deed, did the thing that earns our salvation. What do you make of people when they say that the cross makes a good example for people to follow?
Well, it does in a way. I mean, it in the sense of giving of ourselves. I mean, that's the ultimate giving of oneself, is the Christ giving of himself into death. And so you can make the cross as an example in a way, but that's not the heart of what the cross is all about, because the cross is for us. Not for us as an example to follow quite so much as, in a much larger sense, for us as a gift to us. He gave himself into death so that we, through his death, might have life. And I think that's essentially the difference between the law and the gospel. The cross as example is the cross as law, telling me what I should do, how I should live. And, of course, the law of God is a good thing. How much better, however, is the gospel, which is what the cross brings to me, namely the forgiveness of sin, life, and everlasting salvation.
So just to put a fine point on that, if the cross is preached as example, that is to the exclusion of other things, it will never be anything more than go do likewise.
Yeah, sure, exactly. And there's always that temptation that I think preachers have and maybe people have when they're listening to preachers. That's what they want to hear. They want to hear people preach something, how to live my life. How should we then live? Well, that's part of Christianity, certainly, but that's not the heart of it. And how much of a shame would it be if we take Holy Cross Day or the event of the crucifixion or any opportunity to preach the cross as primarily an example? That, to me, cuts the heart right out of the faith, because the faith is primarily about Christ's giving of himself on the cross so that I, through him, might be redeemed and reconciled to God. It's a world of difference.
Dr. Burnell Eckert is our guest. We're talking about Holy Cross Day that the Church observes on the 14th of September. On this Tuesday, September the 9th, we're getting a little advance education in it. I'm Todd Wilkin. Stay tuned. Bethany Lutheran College is pleased to sponsor Issues Etc. and Lutheran Public Radio. Bethany Lutheran College is located in the picturesque river town of Mankato, Minnesota, and is committed to making Christian higher education affordable for all with generous financial aid packages available. At Bethany, you'll find stimulating academic programs, a friendly atmosphere, and opportunities to grow both in intellect and in your faith, all within the framework of a supportive Christian environment. For more information, visit us on the web at blc.edu.
I'm not a Christian, but I listen to your show because actually you do have some interesting topics.
Here's a recent comment from the Issues Etc. comment line.
Do you believe that there's not one error in the Bible? That's intellectually infantile. You also believe that Jesus is coming again. You promote extremely sexually repressive views.
The Issues Etc. comment line. Available 24/7. 618-223-8382.
Have fun waiting for Jesus to return. Got news for you. He ain't coming back.
Christ-centered, cross-focused, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. St. John Lutheran, Springfield, Pennsylvania. Zion Lutheran, Detroit, Michigan. St. Paul's Lutheran, Long Beach, California. All Saints Lutheran, Charlotte, North Carolina. Redeemer Lutheran, Colorado Springs, Colorado. Shepherd of the Lake Lutheran, Garrison, Minnesota. Emmanuel Lutheran, Kansas City, Missouri. And Holy Cross Lutheran, St. Genevieve, Missouri. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues Etc. 300. Choir of King's College with one of the hymns appointed for Holy Cross Day, the head that once was crowned with thorns. We're talking about Holy Cross Day. The church celebrates it on the 14th of September. Dr. Burnell Eckert is our guest, pastor of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Kewaunee, Illinois, and editor-in-chief of Gottesdienst, the Journal of Lutheran Liturgy. Let's talk a little bit about some of the appointed readings. I want to get through readings, maybe a hymn or two, and then that collect that you mentioned before. Dr. Eckert, the gospel reading actually comes from John 12, where it's the turning point for Jesus. He has been sought out now by some of the Greeks who were there at the feast, and Jesus begins by saying, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified." He speaks in terms of death, falling into the ground and dying. And then he ends with verse 32 saying, "And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to myself." And John says this was to show that by what kind of death he was going to die. Talk about that gospel reading for Holy Cross Day.
Well, it's in the Gospel of St. John, and that's fascinating in itself, because John likes to use words in a kind of a different way than we normally think of them, particularly in this case, the word glory, the Son of Man being glorified. We don't normally think of a cross as a glorious thing, but that's precisely what he's talking about here. He's talking about being glorified in the cross, in being lifted up, and that's kind of a, we might say, a double entendre there, something with a double sense. He is lifted up, he is exalted from the earth, but he's referring to the event in the life of the congregation of Israel when Moses lifted up the serpent on the stand. This goes back to John chapter 3. He is lifted up like the bronze serpent, and people looked at the serpent and they were healed. So Jesus, being lifted up from the earth on the cross, draws men to himself. And that's why the evangelist then says that this signifies the death he should die. This is really kind of a nice dovetail from what we were talking about earlier, that the cross is holy, that Friday is good. His lifting up is a good thing that draws all men to himself.
And I wonder, when John says this was to signify by what kind of death he was going to die, he's not just talking about the lifting up, the act of the crucifixion, but a redeeming death, a saving death, a death that not only brings glory to him in the cross, but redeems all mankind.
Yes. And once again, that gets us back to the history that's being referred to here. This is the Christian faith, unlike any other religion on earth, is a faith which is rooted in historical reality. And that's precisely why you have such an emphasis placed on eyewitnesses, people who were there to see it, to write it down, because God ties himself not only to us in the person of Jesus Christ, but to our history in the events which transpired in his life, so that they are documented and our salvation is tied to historical reality.
One of the other readings that's appointed for Holy Cross Day is the famous opening to Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, where he says at the beginning, "The word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to those of us being saved, it is the power of God." He goes on to say that Jews demand signs, Greeks seek wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified. And he ends that pericope by saying, "The foolishness of God is wiser than men, the weakness of God is stronger than men." Why that particular text on this day?
You know, this brings up the question you asked earlier. It may be that since there's always been such a strong Lutheran emphasis on the teachings of St. Paul, and there's a lot of Lutheran churches, even our own, which are named for St. Paul, it might be because of this Pauline insistence on these very things that there is correspondingly a large number of Lutheran churches named Holy Cross, because this is precisely what Paul is saying here, that the preaching of the cross, it's foolishness, it's weakness, it's death, it's ugly, it's horrible. It's something we want to turn our eyes away from, avert our eyes from. But by faith, we know this is precisely where we need to look. This is the best mask of God by which he not only fools and deceives the world of unbelief, and to whom it's foolishness, but even the devil himself. You know, there's the old story of how the crucifixion of Christ, the devil saw him as a worm, and he was a large fish, and he came and took the worm and was snared by the hook, which is the divine nature of Christ, when he saw him on the cross. So it's not only foolishness to the world, but to the devil, and it was precisely because of that the devil was snared, according to the ancient story.
Yeah, I love, I don't know if it goes with that one, but the phrase, you know, he grabbed hold of a man and got God.
Exactly.
In the person,
yes,
of Christ.
Yes.
The hymns, we've We've heard bits of them. The one, Sing My Tongue, the Glorious Battle, the Royal Banners, Forward, Go, the Head That Once Was Crowned with Thorns. Why are those hymns especially appropriate? Well, for any day, and especially Sunday, but Holy Cross Day.
Well, those first two hymns that you mentioned are actually both parts of an ancient hymn, the Cross Hymn. I forget the name of it in Latin, but it's got about 20 verses. In fact, we used to sing all of them on Good Friday until people started clamoring that it was a little too long. But they're all marvelous verses. That is, Sing My Tongue, the Glorious Battle, and the Royal Banners, Forward Go. They both come from this hymn that talks about the faithful cross, above all other, one and only noble tree, none in foliage, none in blossom, none in fruit thy peer may be. Sweetest wood and sweetest iron, sweetest weight is hung on thee. It's an absolutely marvelous hymn, and if you ever get a chance, take a look. I have here in front of me 10 stanzas. I think there may even be more, but it's really a wonderful focus for meditation as well as for singing.
And finally, with only 1 minute, the collect that you mentioned before, that little tiny prayer for Holy Cross Day.
The prayer for Holy Cross Day that I have listed here simply says, Merciful God, your Son Jesus Christ was lifted high upon the cross that he might bear the sins of the world and draw all people to himself. Grant that we who glory in his death for our redemption may faithfully heed his call to bear the cross and follow him who lives and reigns. So that is a takeoff on the passage from St. John chapter 12 and sort of wraps up the whole notion that the cross is the glory of God and our redemption in a nice little prayer and a collect of the collected, the prayer of the collected faithful.
Dr. Burnell Eckert is pastor of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Kewaunee, Illinois, and he's editor-in-chief of Gottesdienst, the Journal of Lutheran Liturgy. Fritz, thanks for being our guest.
It's been a real pleasure.
Folks, if you appreciate Issues Etc., Christ-centered, cross-focused talk radio, and you'd like to support this worldwide outreach and advertise your Christ-centered, cross-focused congregation, consider joining the Issues Etc. 300 in 2015. It's our congregational sponsorship program. It's a way that your congregation can support Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget to the tune of $1,000 or more. You can find out more about it at the support page at issuesetc.org. Remember, the Issues Etc. 300, this is a great time to approach your congregation as they're approaching the end of the year. It is actually getting toward the end of the year, and they're making their budget decisions. Ask them to join the Issues Etc. 300. Get that down, download that one-page flyer, issuesetc.org. Click support. Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll continue our series on important philosophers, talking with Dr. Angus Manoj about Thomas Aquinas, very important philosopher, and we'll discuss Lutheranism in Canada. Dr. Robert Bugbee, president of the Lutheran Church Canada, will be our guest. I'm Todd Wilkin. I'll talk with you tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
You'll find an authoritative witness to the gospel of salvation by grace alone in the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for September, the Concordia Commentary on Galatians. It's written by Issues Etc. regular guest Dr. Andrew Doss. The Concordia Commentary on Galatians is published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040, or you can read an excerpt at issuesetc.org. The Concordia Commentary on Galatians, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for September.
The grace of God, the church's music, the Lord's Supper, every service, every Sunday, and Wednesdays too, preaching Christ crucified and risen. There is hope in St. Louis, Hope Lutheran Church, that is. 5218 Neosho Street, St. Louis, Missouri, or find us on the web at hopelutheranstl.org.